In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. We're coming to the end of the church's year. The calendar is about to roll over. We start the new year in the beginning of December. And as we come to the end of the church's year, as it starts in Advent with the telling of the prophecies of the coming of Messiah, and then we come to Christmas and the birth, and then we get the stories of the passion and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, Holy Week and Easter, as we come to this end of the story, the prophets and the readings from the gospel very much have to do with the end of time. We come to the end of the story. And it's a little bit frightening. Everything will be shaken. Everything will pass through fire. Every stone will be dismantled from its neighbor in the temple. But we tell the whole story from the beginning of the story of Jesus to the end of time, the eschaton. It's one of my favorite words. The eschaton, eschatology, the end of time. And for the last 170 years or so, there's been this tendency in the church to try to line up and detail which events in Daniel and which things in Ezekiel and which images from the book of the Revelation, which ones are happening right now. And that person that's the third horn on the head of the second dragon, and you know, who is that? That's nothing. Jesus says all of these terrible things have to take place, but the end does not come immediately. All of these signs and wonders, wars and insurrections. Can anybody really quickly name me a six-month period in the history of the earth where there hasn't been a war? All of these terrible things, Jesus saying they're all going to happen. They are not supposed to scare you. They are not supposed to put you into this terror of the end is coming, oh no. Don't run after somebody who says he's me. Don't sell all your possessions and move to the top of a mountain in Tibet just because somebody says the end is coming next week. And he doesn't talk about the end of time specifically in this passage. Jesus doesn't, nor does Isaiah or Paul. But I'm pretty sure that when God breaks in at the end of time, there won't be any mistaking it. I won't need anybody to tell me it happened. So don't run after people telling you it's about to happen. Live your life as God has given it to you between now and then, knowing that there will be disruptions, knowing there will be things that might scare you, some things even designed to scare you, some conspiracies of persons who hate the gospel who are trying to scare you off from faith in Christ. All those things must happen, but that's not the end. Those are just the things you have to endure to get there. But we don't like the things. We don't want to endure things. We want everything to be, we want to make sure that our projects, we want to make sure that our name, we want to make sure that our heritage is secure. This is why we have endowment funds and trust funds. It's why we make our churches out of stone. We have these things, we want everything to endure, and that's the environment in which Jesus gives his teaching today in the gospel. He's in the temple, and people are commenting about the precious stones that have been given and the adornments for the temple. Among other things, one of the things we're told is that over the main door of the temple, and we know Israel is referred to as a vine in the Old Testament, there was a gold vine. And wealthy patrons would donate a new golden leaf to be put on it. Or if they were wealthy, maybe a solid gold grape or a bunch of grapes or a whole new branch. And it grew over the years. Wow, what an adornment. What a beautiful thing. And the jewels that adorned the courtyards and the stonework. And they put their energy and their finances and their resources into this. And generations before Solomon, the king, had moved stones, great stones, stones cut from a quarry up the mountain ridge to build the foundation of that temple, which still stands. And the stones in the temple itself, and they said, look at the stones, how big they are, and how permanent and glorious this thing is. And Jesus says, it's all going to be torn down. I don't want it to be torn down. I like it. My family's name is on that rock right over there. It's all to be torn down. It's all to be removed in place of some new creation. And yet we don't want that thing which we have built. They're our best efforts. Our church, our the rules of our church, our liturgy. I mean, can you imagine if you were one of those people, let's say in 1975, who was working on the 1979 prayer book, or one of the people in 1922 who was working on the 1928 prayer book, or 1785 who was working on this. By the way, you're putting all this work in, and we're going to use it for a little while, but then we're going to get rid of it. Ah! It was the argument I always had with my mother. Why should I make my bed? I'm going to mess it up later. Why should we build something that's going to be torn down? Should we even have a church building? Should we have a prayer book tradition? Absolutely we should. Jesus said the temple is going to be dismantled. He didn't say the temple is wrong. He didn't say the beauty was of no value. He said it's going to have to be torn down. The implication is, reading back into Isaiah, because it needs to be replaced by something even greater. And again, back to that argument I had with my mother, the logic is, if God's going to build something greater, why should I do anything at all right now? Because he's going to do it better than we can. So let's all just sell everything we had and buy white robes and move to the top of a mountain and wait for God to do it. Doesn't work that way. Because everything that he will build into eternity, the raw materials that he will use to build that eternal kingdom, the adornment that will adorn the church, which is the bride of Christ, to be united with him forever, those things which adorn him are the good works of the saints, adorns the church, beautifies the church, can only be built, can only be woven once what we build crumbles. The crumbling ruins of our work are the raw materials he uses for the eternal building. We do our best. Another picture that I had of this idea was that of a mine, a diamond mine. And somebody, you know, the geologist and science people say, you know, that mountain right over there, it's full of diamonds. We need to get them out. Well, I want to be a diamond miner. I want to pull pretty things out of the mountain. So I go over with my pick and my shovel and my wheelbarrow, and I start hacking away. And all I find is these ugly black rocks. I spend weeks, months, and all I find is ugly black rocks. And I go, I wanted to be a diamond miner. I quit. You can't find the diamond in the middle of the rock until you get the rock out of the mountain. And what we build, our structures, our hopes, our plans, the ministries that we build with our energy, the churches that we endow with our finances and support with our giving, the projects that we plan so precisely to work so well, we think those are the diamonds, but they're not. That's the ore from which God will extract the diamond once I hand over my work to him and say, I can't make it eternal, but you can. Everything we do is like that rock pulled out of the mountain. We think it's worth something, but if we only give it over to God, it will become so much more. It doesn't mean our work is worthless. Our job is to mine out from this earth, from this life, within this community, and build everything we possibly can and surrender it to God, who will shake the earth, who will pass all of our works and our gifts and our ideas and our thoughts and our relationships and our prayers and our sacraments. All of it will be passed through that shaking of all things. And that fire of the purification of God's countenance, his face, the intensity of that will purify everything. But we have to do the first work in order to give him everything we can do, everything we can build, every ministry we can support, every sermon we can preach, every person whose shoulder, we'll let them cry on our shoulder. All of that work is but the mere mining out of rock and ore. The eternal beauty within that can only be revealed by God. Otherwise, I'm going to be holding on to a rock for eternity. An ugly, self-made rock. This is the work of Christian stewardship, is to pour our energy and our finances and our thoughts and our creativity into a structure that is the best we can manage. But at the end of the day, to say, God, erase my name off it, because my name won't make it last. Take my name off it, because my name doesn't give it eternal value. Don't let my work be the last work that's done. You take it and cleanse it and clean it and polish it and purify it. Because I can only go so far, and I don't mean 97% of the way. All I can do is dig the rock out of the ground. You can find the diamond. You can make this thing eternal. That is our work. We're supposed to build a temple, not just the physical structure, because we know this will fall down someday. The structure of the church, the ministries, the projects, all of the ways we identify ourselves in the church and the things we put our energy into. All of our plans will be removed, but we are supposed to make them. All of our projects tainted by self-interest and sin and mistake are going to be purified by God, but we're still supposed to do them. St. Paul says, he who will not work ought not eat. Labor. Do the work. Build the kingdom. Create that which God can shake, and then hand it over to God and say, shake it. Put your energy and your resources into a church that is highly imperfect, that is sometimes flat wrong. Build it with all your energy and all your heart so that God can purify it, and then hand it over to God and say, God, please purify it. That's our stewardship. That's our energy. That's our ministry in the world. I don't believe that one of my sermons will be remembered throughout all of history. Those of you who do ministries among the poor and see them face to face, I expect that your face in handing them a cup of water or a plate full of food will probably be remembered far longer than anything I've ever said. But even that gift needs to be purified so it can last into eternity. And that's what God wants. He wants us to put our energy into his kingdom on earth and then surrender that kingdom to him in eternity and say, Christ, shake it, burn it, purify it, cleanse it, polish it, and carry everything that's worth it into the future. But we have to do the building here and the giving up. Amen.